Hello, Pastor Deborah here, and this is Agape Love, Love is Here. This is one of the many video sections of the ministry of Pastor Deborah, helping people the Lord's way. Please enjoy the video, and we look forward to you coming again. Pastor Deborah hopes you enjoy hearing about how she has learned how to help people the Lord's way, and of her many wonderful spiritual experiences throughout many, many years of helping people. Welcome again to a video of Agape Love, Love is Here Ministries. This is Pastor Deb. Love always and forever. Hello again, Pastor Deborah here. And this is another Kingdom of Darkness part. We are starting part number 10. Remember in part 9, we had just started getting into Adam and woman and the soul and the fall. And we're going to pick up right there. But before we do that, let's pray. Dear Father, you who are opening up and revealing to us this hidden spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. You know it's here on planet Earth. You're trying to help us to see it and understand it because it is here affecting us. But you also are going to try to help us to learn how to be in it, but not be a part of it. How to do battle against it. To set the world, the nations, the people, the animal, nature free of it. We ask you now to speak through your words of spirit and life. And to help our spirit and our soul to understand, to perceive and hear your words of spirit and life. Then help us to have the conceptions, the ideas, the very mind that you have, so that we can understand why the world is the way it is, why we, humanity, do what we do to each other. Why the world is in such turmoil, the climate, the weather, the animals. Help us, Father, for we do not know why these things are occurring. We need your help. So help us through this teaching of the Kingdom of Darkness, Part 10. Thank you. All right, let's pick up. We had left off when we were talking about Adam and woman, and we were just getting into some good stuff. Because you can't understand what's here now if you don't go back and understand what was to be here. But it was to be in a different form. But the pattern is the same. So let's pick up. We had learned that this God of the Holy Bible had created this wonderful planet called Earth. And it was going to be a new land, a new colony, a new place for him to extend his spiritual rulership out into a world of what we call the seen world. And he was going to put his spiritual children called man, not a gender. That was just the name of the species. Inside this dirt, from this new territory called Earth. And this new being would be a creature of both worlds, the spirit world, the unseen, and of this new land called Earth. And he would be a three-component being. He would have a spirit that the Heavenly Father, this God, the Creator, would be in communication with, would live in, and help it. And then the spirit would work through and express itself through the soul, the helpmate. And then the soul would get the physical body to carry out the orders of the spirit. And this creature, this spiritual being called man, was to be the king, the ruler, down here on planet Earth and was to step out of this wonderful garden called Eden, take that presence, that rulership, that guarding, that shepherding, that protecting out into the rest of this planet and grow and develop and multiply the presence. That was the pattern and the plan. And that got all messed up because something came inside of a serpent called Satan and caused Adam and his helpmate, his soul, that was representative by woman, to disobey the commandments of do not eat of this tree. It has some fruit on it called the knowledge of good and evil. Now, they did not know what it meant. They were children, but they ate. And they lost their connection to that kingdom, that holy God. Now, they're in darkness. And what happened was, this Satan dude said, I know the pattern. I know what this God wants done down here. I'll take them. I'll make them in my image and likeness like he wanted to. I'll create my kingdom, my world, my governing system on the earth, and I'll rule this land. And I'll claim it as mine, even though I didn't create it. But I'll put my spirits, my servants, in every tree, every land, every gully, every hill, every sea, every mountain, every road, everything. And I'll just call it mine. And that's what happened. So let's kind of get into it. This God is telling this young man, I guess, Adam, man of a dark earth. That's what Adam means. To keep my spiritual presence on earth for me. Guard it, protect it. You are the soldier of it. It's a treasure down here. Now you have ministry to do with it. But you must learn how to guard it and protect it. Not only inside here of your spirit and your soul and your physical body first. And once you get a handle on that, and over all your beastly appetites and your thoughts of your soul, and you don't act like a beast of the field, and you don't eat all the grapes and get drunk and have sugar and let leaves and plants control you. When you get control of your system, your kingdom that I put in you, and you work with me in the spirit, and your spirit grows and develops, and then it overflows into the soul and then to the physical body, then you are going to expand out into the world. I want you to be my steward, he says, my shepherd, my manager, as I build my spiritual kingdom of heaven on earth. We were given this. We didn't do very well with it. Some of us have regained it, and we are learning deeply about it and all the rules and the laws and the courtrooms and the judge and all the royal decrees, who we are. It's a lot to learn. But some of us are doing it. Others are not yet, but we're hoping you will. He said, I want you to work from the unseen, the spirit, out through your soul, out through your physical body, to reflect and express the kingdom of heaven, my kingdom, myself, my own thoughts and hearts, my words, my decrees, from the highest spirit through you and out to the seen world. I want you to be managers of the seen world and the unseen world here on this planet, in this universe, so to speak, that we can even see with the Hubble telescope. That's called the seen world. I want you to subdue it, dominate that world, make sure everything stays in order, everything follows my laws that I set up. Now, we didn't know at the time what was here. We didn't know there were viruses and evil forces at work. We didn't know there was death here. We didn't know. But what this God did is, first, I've got to decree to you, giving you your marching orders. I'm giving you the prophetic word of what you are and what you're to do. Then he puts us, he says, be about the Father's business. I want you to show my glory, he says. I want you to show my knowledge, my wisdom, my understanding. I want you to show me off, he's saying, to the seen world that's out here. Now remember, he had foreknowledge that there would be another kingdom here called the kingdom of darkness. And it would have a king and it would have servants. They're called demonic spirits. And they would be at work against the kingdom of heaven and against humanity and against the plants. And he would make use of the viruses and bacterias and the animals and the winds and the climate. And he would work through the souls and its appetites and its lust of its eyes of the humanity. And he would get this beautiful creature who was to be a mighty king and ruler to act just like a beast out of his soul. So the plan had started. But before that, this was the pattern. And he's telling, I want you to show my glory from out of the unseen to the seen. So once I learned, and this is how Pastor Deborah learned it, because I didn't know anything. I started ministering to people coming out of the kingdom of darkness, multi-generational Satanism, witchcraft, the occult, secret societies, the Illuminati, those that go and worship at the Bohemian Grove, the New World Order, the One World Order. Once I met them, and I looked and I listened to them, I heard kings and queens and princesses. I saw a pattern. I go, that is interesting. Satan took the pattern for humanity that God had planned and decreed and took it and developed it in his kingdom of darkness here on planet Earth. Now, God used that to show me the pattern. Then I had to study God's pattern for mankind. Then I had to study the pattern of the kingdom of heaven. And I found a wonderful teacher down in the Bahamas Faith Ministries in the Bahamas. He has now gone on to heaven with his wife and many of his leadership of the church. His name was Dr. Miles Monroe. I was ready to step out of religion and to start hearing about the kingdom, the manufacturer, and to learn about kings and kingdom. And he was there. And he taught. He has books and videos about it. He's an excellent teacher. I have a lot of his videos on the website in spiritual teaching section. Because that's what the Bible is about. It's about a king who expands a kingdom, who has children who are kings, but before they're a king, a ruler, they are princesses and princes. They're children, and they must grow and develop to become released as managers and shepherds and kings and even judges. I just had to do that last night. I had to go into the courtroom of the judge of the universe and ask for a judgment on some people and what they were doing. Now, I've had to learn that those people who do not quite yet believe in him and his son, they are already judged. But those who claim to be his people, so I had to learn how to do that. I had to be able to stand before a king in the heavenly throne room, how to kneel, how to take orders from a king, how to think up here as a king, a majesty, down here. I didn't know how to do that. None of us do, till we study. So Dr. Miles Monroe, I want you to watch his videos. I think his daughter and son are continuing on with it. He's on YouTube. He has lots of wonderful teachings about how to influence through the kingdom. What is the kingdom? What is a king? What is the glory of the king? Excellent teaching. It's not about denominations. It's not about religion. So you learn that the Bible is about a king, his kingdom, and his children down here on planet Earth and how they're to rule. And that was the pattern that I had to learn. And I saw that in the occult. I saw that in the Illuminati and the New World Order. I saw that in the One World Order that was trying to develop. I saw it in every empire from ancient civilizations. Kings, kingship, kingdoms, territory. I also saw that the king was a warrior, soldier, and a judge, and a shepherd. So this pattern was starting to develop about the kingdom of darkness. Because remember, Satan had wanted as Lucifer to be the Most High God in the third heaven, but he got cast out. So he set up off of planet Earth in this second heaven, not the atmosphere right around the second heaven, his throne room, his rulership, just like it would have been up in the high heavens where God is. And Satan took this fallen creature called man and started having children made in his image and after his likeness and developing this pattern of a kingdom, but it was going to be of darkness. And what darkness means is ignorance. So Satan rules by ignorance. That means if you don't know something, he can rule you. If something is hidden from you by others, you're ruled by ignorance. Sometimes I don't know a lot of what's going on. What's really happening? Why is this happening in the world? What's behind it? And I have to spend time in prayer and think, why did a person do this? Why is this occurring now? Who is at war? What battle are we in? What are the forces? To help me understand a lot of this, go watch the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Prince Caspian, and some of the others, The Dawn Treader. They were made movies. It shows you there's another world. And it shows you animals and wickedness and darkness in battle. And it shows you people. They're excellent. C.S. Lewis was off in the realm of the spirit. He was a Christian man. Go watch those movies. The Lord of the Rings. Deep, deep spiritual stuff in there. The Matrix. The trilogy series. Deep, deep spiritual messages in there. All kinds of things to help you if you're looking. Well, I found out I was called to help people in this kingdom of darkness. Spiritually. And I had to learn about the kingdom of darkness and its king. And where did it come from? How was it organized? How does it do its justice? What is its thoughts about traitors? All kinds of things. Where did that come from this pattern of the kingdom of heaven? So go watch Miles Monroe. Now he's gone on to heaven. He died in an airplane crash, I think 2014 maybe. But his videos are still up on YouTube, lots of them. He's written lots of books. He will help you to step out of religion, out of denominations, out of the culture you have been brought and educated in, into a kingdom mindset and understanding. So you will learn. So this creature called man was planted in this garden called Eden, which meant my very presence, my holy mountain, the place where I'll meet you, where my laws rain down. I will be high up and I will come down and visit you. It's the very midst of the stones of fire, the very heart of creation, me. Not me, Pastor Deborah, but me, him. It's the spiritual world. The Garden of Eden was here on planet Earth, still is. It's hidden, and it is protected by a flaming sword and fiery cherubim. Now, Pastor Deborah, the gateway was ministered to me when I met certain criteria. And I became the shepherd of it. And I stay in it most of the time at night. But a lot of times I'm taken out to the darkness. Like just this week, I was there getting rest. Just remember, I can go to heaven and visit, but I can't stay because my time is not up. So he has a place here of rest, the Garden of Eden, where his presence is, where your spirit finds peace, and you start meeting the creatures and the other spiritual humans. And his word is there teaching. You start getting your spirit used to being in this powerful, powerful presence. A lot of people get deliverance there in that garden. They get healing. And they learn to meet the living creatures. Yeah, they talk. The flowers sing. I have some videos about that. So what happens, this is in the spirit world, here on planet Earth. It's a part of the kingdom. It's like a little gateway, a garden, where the kingdom of heaven and its influence of God rule and reign. And anybody can come. You just come, tell the cherubim that Pastor Deborah said you could come. No, you can't bring any of your demons with you. Your physical body will not go. You can come in your dreams. You can come when you're in the mosque and you're praying. You can come when you're in the madrasas. You can come when you're behind your hijabs. You can come when you are talking to another God, or you're praising, you're sleeping, you're on your deathbed. It is there for you. This kingdom of heaven put on planet Earth this spot, this place where there was a direct link connection to, where the kingdom of heaven could come down. It was called Eden. The very presence of God himself, his pleasure and delight, place where there was nothing but peace, love, and joy. And it was the spot, the place, the spiritual environment of the kingdom of heaven that God's creation called man was to function in, live in, and needs to survive. Eden was in man's spiritual mind and heart, and his spirit lived in it. Now, from that pattern, the kingdom of darkness took it. The same pattern now. He said, I must have my kingdom of darkness, my own Garden of Eden, my own place where there's pleasure and delight in me. Now, not everybody gets there. Only the high, high ups. Some of them get there because they serve the King of Darkness. And they find pleasure, sexual pleasure. They find money, fame, legacy, positions of great power. They're protected by the law. They're protected by others. They find this place because they serve. And when they need to go in there, they get refreshed. So maybe they get under attack. So they seek out that presence. And where do they get their power from? Satan's spirits himself. He has forces, energies. He has spirits that come in and they strengthen the spirit. And this happens in that realm of the unseen. So God's presence was the very life-sustaining environment for the spirit of man. So Satan took that. He said, okay, I must become the very life-sustaining spirit of those in my kingdom of darkness. So when Pastor Deborah learned that, I learned I have to do deep prayers, deliverance-type prayers, in order to free the spirit of that kingdom of darkness's life-sustaining
spirit. In the kingdom of heaven, this life-sustaining environment came through the Holy Spirit that was deep in our spirit, sort of a holy of holies, a high temple. And you see that when you go into ancient Greece and you see the Parthenons, you see deep inside the temples, there was old Zeus or Athena. You were to go there. You were to worship. And you were to have a life-sustaining spirit in you. It was originally to be this Holy Spirit of God from the kingdom of heaven. But when humanity fell through the disobedience of man and his helpmate, his soul, the kingdom of darkness took the pattern and said, okay, I am going to be like God. I don't have to be in every human. I will send my spirits, which were other fallen angels, to go into humans, deep in their spirit, to be as the Holy Spirit was to be in mankind. And I will rule the spirit from my kingdom of darkness, rules and laws and pattern inside their spirit, out through their soul, the helpmate, and out through the physical body. I've had to learn to look at people when they talk, to look past the eyes and sense, see the soul, and sense the spiritual being that is working through the spirit. It's hidden. Most of the time to the spirit, it's hidden. But the attitude, the love or no love, the condition of the spirit is speaking through the soul. Because they're one. And this life, it's back here, this life-sustaining spirit, we just learned, says God's presence. So there's a presence there in the kingdom of darkness that Pastor Deborah usually has to deal with. It's usually an unholy spirit that is faking, taking the place of the true Holy Spirit. So Pastor Deborah had to get in and learn deliverance work, how to pray, to set the spirit free and dislodge or cast out these spiritual things that were deeply hidden, unknown to many people, but known to others. So he says, God says, this garden, my presence, my delight in you, is the life-sustaining environment for the spirit. God's presence was man's spiritual home. So in the kingdom of darkness, I had to learn that Satan's presence was in man's, and it was his spiritual home, which came, it was his house. He had strong men set up in there. And in order to free the spirit and all of its capabilities and abilities, there had to be a plundering of all of Satan's stuff, his goods, his defenses. And we had to come in and bind up that strong man. And I learned about that in Matthew 18 and 18. That you cannot go in and set this house free until you do that. So at the same time I'm learning about the kingdom of darkness and patterns, the kingdom of heaven, I started stumbling on deliverance work and seeing this pattern, how the kingdom of heaven had originally set up man to be, what he was to do, how he was to operate and be in communication with the King of heaven. Was to be in his spirit. He was to get knowledge and understanding and precepts and communication and orders, direction and guidance from spirit of the kingdom of heaven through the Holy Spirit to the spirit. Then the spirit would tell the soul what to say, what to do, where to go, how to do it. And then the soul would direct the biological body. I just heard something on the news, I think in another state. A father just stabbed his 2-year-old child in the stomach. The child is in the hospital. They asked him, why did he do it? He said, the devil made me do it. Now, most people and the police and investigators think you are mentally ill. It sounds like that. But he's telling you the truth, a spiritual being that he sees as the devil made him do this. Okay? We see that on the other side in the kingdom of heaven. Why did you do that? Well, God told me to do that. Why did you speak to that person? Because God told me. Why did you do this? Because God directed me. It's the same pattern. It's just one is usually good and one is very evil. And the evil, because it's done through humans, everything will be done through humans, beast, nature, the climate. Okay, you understand that. So this young man, when he said it, he smiled because that is still. He believed he was doing something, serving, either out of fear or if I do this, I'll get something, maybe some drugs, or he was threatened in dreams, or he probably was born with this. But most people now have learned and believe that spiritual demonic things talking to us, even a lot of people believe God doesn't talk to us. Just read the Bible, and that's enough. Other people do hear God, but it's a lying spirit talking to them, trying to get them to believe it's God. So you have, there is a test called First John 1:4, about try and test every spirit to see if it's of God. There's a test. I've passed most of them, but some of them I fail. The one that I failed, and I'll read it to you, to help you understand the pattern that I'm trying to help you understand. God developed the pattern for mankind. Satan knew what the pattern was. And when man fell, he just said, I'll take the same pattern. Let me get my story called the garden hose. And you will learn about spirits speaking to us and how I missed it, but I had to recover myself. Okay, let me get it. Be right back. I'm back. It took me a while to find that story. In this story, it is about how a God desires to talk to us and we to talk to it and hear its voice, and how that pattern was sort of kidnapped into the kingdom of darkness, and how the kingdom of darkness will take it, the pattern, use my desires of my heart to hear and be blessed from this God of the kingdom of heaven, and how Satan and his kingdom works in a parallel track with exactly the same pattern spiritually to humanity. Now, this is a true story. I did not pass it at first. It was a test. And most of us don't. So this relates to that young man who stabbed his little child and said the devil made him do it. Both sides, both spiritual kingdoms are speaking to us. Both of them desire to be inside our spirit, leading us, guiding us, talking to us, getting our soul to desire what we want. And then our physical body to carry out the act. So that all three parts, you hear a lot about this, let's all be in unity. And we will all have peace when we're all in unified form. Unity, spirit, soul, and body. Okay? So let's listen to Pastor Deborah's story called The Garden Hose. It's wonderful. I'm going to give you some scriptures that are going to start us off, and then we'll get into it. John 10:2-5, the Authorized King James Version. Verse 2.
But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Talks about entering in, doorways. Somebody's coming in a door, and there's sheep. Powerful right there. Just we could teach on that. Verse 3, to him the shepherd who wants to come in this door, the porter opens. He's the gatekeeper. He says, come on in, shepherd. Come on in. And the sheep hear his voice, the shepherd. Right there, we're learning that there's an entrance. There's a place that this shepherd wants to go into. There is a gatekeeper. Now think patterns, spiritual patterns, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of darkness. There's a porter, a gatekeeper, that allows the shepherd, who's a guardian, a protector, a warrior, a fighter, to come in. Pastor Deborah had to learn that that is what the pattern was. Now, they can't get in, Pastor Deborah. They can stay right out here and talk. Okay? But to other people who a porter or gatekeeper has opened the door through many different ways, they've come in. And the sheep hear his voice. So that young man said, the devil made me do it. He heard the devil's voice inside of his spirit and soul. And it directed him to do this. Okay? Now, the world out there doesn't believe in this much anymore. That's considered a mental illness. But back in ancient history, spirits coming into humanity was normal. They believed the kings of Egypt and the kings were embodied and were in deep connection to the God in the sky. Shamans do it. They connect to and they go and they have interaction with. And that's not considered mentally ill. A fortune teller or a psychic is in connection with a spiritual being or a force, as they call it. We do not think that they are mentally ill when they read our fortunes or they read our palms or they look at our auras. We don't classify them as mentally ill. But if somebody does a evil deed, like this man stabbing his daughter, we just go straight to the world system says he's mentally ill. If you are a pastor, a deep spiritual believer in the kingdom of darkness, and that this is possible and it is the pattern, we learn it right here. God says, I want to talk to you. I want to come in. I want you to hear my voice. And if the pastors are trained, but I learned that 99.9% of them don't believe in this. They're not trained in. They do not have the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of knowledge or wisdom to see this, to even believe in it. So they don't help set the captives free. And there's some other scriptures that's from Jesus. He says, if you don't help me in setting captives free, like I do, casting these things out, doing deliverance work, doing healing, you are scattering away from me and away from the truth, the sheep. So here we are, verse 3. We ain't gone very far. I could teach forever just on that. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. This is the pattern Pastor Deborah had to learn, so I could see it in the kingdom of darkness, so I could understand what was going on in people's deep, hidden spiritual lives, their motives behind it, what was pushing them, driving them, leading them. Verse 4. And when he, the shepherd, puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him,
great teaching again to connect to kings. Back in 2 Samuel, humanity, the Israelites, didn't want this invisible king leading them into battle, guiding them, talking to them. They wanted to see, because they were flesh creatures, they wanted to see with their natural eyes a human being talking to them and doing this, because that's what other nations were doing, because they were all flesh creatures. Nobody was connected inside yet, and they didn't want this God. But we said right here, the shepherd wants to lead us and guide us. So I'm learning the kingdom of darkness's pattern about how it's organized and how it works from studying the kingdom of heaven and its book. For they know his voice, it says, these sheep that follow. Okay, so we use this young man who stabbed his little girl, 2 years old. He said, the devil told me to do it. He knows his shepherd's and master's voice. He knows what it sounds like on the inside. He has served it probably since he was born. Maybe had it from the womb. Don't know. Verse 5, and a stranger they will not follow. You run into this when the soul part of us. Now, anything really deep spiritually to the soul is foolishness to it. All it can see is religion. That my body bows 6 times a day, that I take food and drink to a statue, that I kiss or a foot, or I bow before a statue. I must be doing something physically, is what the soul is saying. Therefore, I am proving my belief and worship by having my body do this. And how many times I do it a day. So to the soul, this spiritual stuff is foolishness and it doesn't compute to the soul. But the spirit is in that world. But they're together and one, spirit and soul. But they're disconnected from information. But a lot of times the spirit, right here, has the deep spiritual connection to the shepherd. He translates that, like this young man, to the soul and the physical body, and they stab the little 2-year-old. He was obeying his master, following the shepherd. Verse 5, and he says, I'm not going to follow another voice. Okay, and it says, and if you know that voice of your shepherd, you will flee from a stranger's voice. So this was the pattern. And I found out a lot about this, that when I'm speaking to people who have another shepherd, they're listening to his voice, they will run in their soul and spirit from the voice I am speaking. They won't follow it. For they know not the voice of a stranger. This voice of the Heavenly Father is a stranger to most people. And at the same time, the pattern is that the kingdom of darkness took, said, this God is to be speaking to humanity. And I can even work, because there's a pattern, that God himself will mess us up if he needs to. If we won't try the spirits, he'll send a lying spirit to us. And so Satan will speak to us to get us to do something so that we will follow another's voice besides God's. And in this, you're going to learn why. John 12, 28 through 30, the Authorized King James Version. Verse 28, Father, glorify your name. Jesus was in the temple, and he was talking to some people, and all of a sudden, some thunder and lightning came. If you watch the Gospel of John movie, as I did, it's a 3-hour movie, it's on the Agape Love's website in the movie section. You can also, it's on YouTube. You'll start seeing this pattern that the kingdom of darkness took right from get-go in the garden. God talking to man. Okay? Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified my name, which is my nature, my essence, my glory, and I will glorify it, my name, again. God is in the business, and so is the kingdom of darkness, of glorifying their names. When Satan, doesn't matter what he has to do, he wants to glorify himself. He wants to be lifted up in front of his sheep. He wants, they count on him to be their shepherd and protect them. When the attacks come to uncover stuff, or the law comes, they're depending because they've served him and listened to him, even gone against every known legal thing, constitutions, tax laws, it doesn't matter. They are trusting the shepherd of the kingdom of darkness to protect them. That is the biblical pattern. Now, the God and Satan of the kingdom, both are interested in glorifying their name. Satan actually means the adversary of God. So he will glorify himself when he is attacking, against, arguing, defending, buffeting, anything he can do against the nature, the name of his son, Christ Jesus, love, life, whatever. Satan is glorified through humanity. And God is saying, I've glorified my name, and I'm going to do it again. Verse 29. The people at this feast thereof that stood by and heard this voice. It was rumbling. So sometimes when you hear thunder or lightning, tune your ear. Could be God speaking. Well, I used to call that Jupiter. And we used to hear that thunder was bowling balls going in the sky. Some people said it was Jupiter sending a lightning bolt. That gods have always talked to us from out of the heavens. Nothing new. And it said that these people in the temple at this feast that stood by and heard it, the voice, said that it thundered. So you be careful when you hear thunder. Sometimes some people are hearing God's voice or Satan's voice in the thunder. Other people are just hearing thunder. Depends on if you are spiritually connected in the spirit realm. Others said an angel spoke to him. So there's already confusion. Who's talking? Is it an angel? Is it God? Is it just thunder? Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. So I'm learning God speaks. Satan, the kingdom of darkness, speaks. And it comes for my sake. Okay? Pattern. Look at the pattern. The kingdom of darkness is going to duplicate, replicate the best pattern from the kingdom of heaven, everything. These scriptures are the reason for this story. For the last few, 5 or more years, every Sunday morning, wherever I was, I watched, and still do today, on DVD or on YouTube, a 3-hour movie, The Gospel of John. If you haven't seen it, go to the YouTube. You can also now go on Agape Love, Love is Here website in the movie section. It's there. You can also type in Visual Bible. It'll be there, Gospel of John on YouTube. It's free. Costs you nothing. There are many great movies there, and you really should watch them all. Also, if you type in on YouTube, The History of Christianity, the history of the King James Bible, and many others. There's so much good and historical movies to watch. I've put many of them up on the Agape Love, Love is Here website under the section called the movie section for you to watch. Especially about how the Bible was translated from Hebrew and Greek and Latin into English and other languages. Please check them all out and you will learn much. Also watch all of the following movies. They're all on YouTube. Genesis, Abraham, Jacob, David, Joshua at Jericho, the Ten Commandments, Ben-Hur, The Robe, Ruth, Esther, Jeremiah, Joseph, Solomon, Molokai, China Cry, Samson, Peter and Paul, Book of Acts, God's Outlaw, William Tyndale, Wilberforce, Luther, John Wycliffe, John Huss, Beowulf, Beckett. Beowulf is a story about a demonic spirit who transforms itself into a beautiful woman. Angelina Jolie plays the role, lives in a cave with some water, and she works with the kings and seduces them. They have sex. They produce Grendel, a hybrid. Excellent about curses and pride, and just excellent to watch. Decline of an Empire, about how Rome started falling when Catherine came and moved in the gifts and was challenging that there was only one God. Excellent to watch. The Book of Eli with Denzel Washington, about the power of the Bible. Jesus of Nazareth, it's a 6-hour movie. The Passion of Christ by Mel Gibson. And I think there's some new ones that have come out since. Watch them all. Make notes. Do them in a Bible study. Do it as a preaching service. You can see them all from your phones. It's no problem. Watch, enjoy, and learn. Watch over and over. Be a good disciple and student. Look up the words in the dictionary. Now back to the garden hose story. Because I faithfully watched the Gospel of John weekly, Satan was going to be allowed to sift me, try me, tempt me, and test me on my spiritual understanding and obedience to the scriptures in the Gospel of John of being Jesus' sheep by hearing his voice and fleeing from a stranger and his voice. So the story begins on a Sunday afternoon after I had watched again the Gospel of John. I was outside watering and dark clouds were gathering to rain. So I prayed quietly, silently, Father, it would be great if you would rain and water the yard as a blessing to me. Remember, I very, very rarely pray out loud, and I do not journal. I do not want Satan to know what God says to me spiritually, or what I ask for, or how I'm feeling in my prayers, or if I've had dreams and visions. I don't write. Satan will never know if I am fearful, upset, worried, what my heart's desires are, what I'm praying to God about. No, I keep my prayers and my petitions and my tears, my fears and my joy, my frustrations, etc., just between me and the Heavenly Father. I don't even talk about going through something, a test and a battle with other believers. No human ever knows when I'm being tested, tried, sifted, attacked, or in battle. I don't ask for anybody else's prayers because I'm going through something. Once it's over, then I can talk about it or speak about it to others. I decided years ago to never let Satan see me sweat. Never. Because he's always looking at my soul, at my body. Remember, both God and Satan can see us spiritually. They can see our soul and they can see our bodily reactions and what's going on. They have those kind of visions. I've had to learn how to develop that so I can see. So I wasn't going to let Satan know nothing about what I was going through, talking about, or praying about. I never ask anyone but God, my Heavenly Father, for strength to endure the test, the temptation, the attack. Only God, the Most High, my Heavenly Father, has what I spiritually need to get spiritually through and be victorious for His glory and His name. Since I and the Most High God talk a lot daily and every night and sometimes all night long, therefore I do not need another human to spiritually encourage me, pray to God for me, or to tell me what God has said, except when I get deep in the flesh. God will have to use somebody else to talk to me. When I can't see what he needs me to say, he might use my father in the past about some of my behaviors I was doing in prisons. He's used letters from evangelists. When I cannot hear because I'm so invested in an activity or so blinded to it, I wouldn't believe it anyway. He has to arrange circumstances that shake me, get my attention to speak to me. Because sometimes that's what happens to all of us. I do not seek a prophet for words of God or what God is doing. This seeking is spiritual evidence that a believer does not have a close, spiritual, intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father so that they could hear the words or the voice of God, the Most High, for themselves. We were just told that my sheep will hear my voice. If you're not hearing the voice of God, there is a problem. Can be you're too much in the flesh. Your soul is still too dominant in you. You're still a child and a baby, and you're still into the desires of your flesh and the appetites and the lust. Or you haven't yet developed that relationship in hearing and talking with him, and you are dependent on pastors. How I learned about this was when Moses went up on the mountain in the Old Testament to talk to God. All the Israelites were invited to come. He's going to come down. But he came down in such power and fire and smoke and thunder, they became afraid. And they ran back to their tents, closed them up and said, "Moses, we are afraid he will kill us. You go up. You talk to him, you come back down and tell us what he says." Even though God had saved them, brought them out of Egypt, there can be fear in the way. There can be, "I don't believe that." Unbelief will stop you. There can believe in the Lutheran church denomination, their beliefs are you don't need to hear his voice anymore. Because it's too subjective. Just read the word. Believe what it says. That's all you need. There's many denominations that are like that. And so you don't ever develop a relationship spiritually with the Spirit of God. Now, he does talk through his word. But he wants a deep, intimate spiritual relationship, okay, outside of the word. Okay? The words to guide us, talk to us, teach us, train us. And so he talks to us through the word. So there's some people that believe I don't need to hear his voice. Some people go, I'm afraid to hear his voice. Some people are so much in their soul or in the world, they're listening to other voices. So I decided I would listen to him. And I would pray, Father, help my spirit to hear you, to see the dreams or the visions. Help my spirit to develop its senses, to see your light, see a revelation come through, a picture, a dream, something. Help my spirit so that it can hear you. So I seek his words from his Bible, his voice to me personally in the spirit, through the Holy Spirit. I always believe that all the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the spiritually unsaved, those who do not yet believe in this God, in the Son of God, in his cross, in his sacrifice, and his heavenly Father. And to see God's power of his agape love and that he is real. I always had that belief. It wasn't for the believers. They had him now. They would study the word. But I needed these gifts when I was out in the kingdom of darkness trying to set captives free, coming against demonic spirits and Satan himself. So the circumstances of this story were, 1, years of watching and hearing the Gospel of John. 2, a heart's desire for a blessing from the Heavenly Father. 3, a dark, cloudy day with rain coming soon. 4, Satan desiring to spiritually accuse me of something to God, the Most High. 5, God the Most High spiritually allowing the test, the sifting, the temptation, the trial. So after my silent prayer for rain to come as a blessing to me, a sound of thunder came, just like in the movie. Then came the voice. Can you believe it? Just like in the Gospel of John. Here's what the voice said. It sounded like God to me. What I've heard is sweet. It was not growling, mean. It says, if you will put the garden hose down, I will water the garden. Answer to my prayer. The voice was not threatening. It sounded like it was around. It sounded like I was getting an answer to my prayer. So, desiring to be blessed, loving to hear the voice of God, I put the garden hose down and sat in a chair on my screen porch to watch it rain and to receive my blessing. And I waited. 1 hour, no rain. 2 hours, no rain. 2.5 hours, no rain, no blessing. I started thinking, there's something wrong here. Duh! After 2.5 hours, no rain. This was not like God the Most High. So after a while, I came to a spiritual revelation. That's how I actually looked. The voice I heard right after the sound of thunder, just like in the movie, the Gospel of John, which I wanted to hear and I desired to hear, and hoping it was the Most High God as in the movie, was not God. It was Satan himself. I listened to and I obeyed another voice than God's, the Most High. I immediately confessed my spiritual error. I spiritually took off to the throne room of God. I knelt down with my spirit, hung my head, and asked him for forgiveness of my sin of listening to and following another voice. I knew the story. Satan was going to prove in the courtroom that because he did this, he had the videotape, the audio tape. You're always going to be videotaped and audio taped and written down. Testimony proven. Always. So I knew that according to the word, that God's sheep only follow his voice and they will run from a stranger. And Satan was going to prove to God that I didn't run from the stranger. And I obeyed a strange voice. And therefore, I was not his sheep. He was not my shepherd. And I belonged to him. Because I followed his voice. That was the plan. So during this time, 2.5 hours, God was holding off Satan, as I could have time to spiritually recover myself. You see, I've always prayed to God, please help me. I don't know when I'm in a test. I don't know when you have given Satan permission to sift me. I don't know when the trial is coming of fire. All I do is study the word, but I learn from this that if you read the word enough and you get something, you will be tested and Satan will ask to sift you, to try you, to test you. Just know that's a done deal. Because God has to prove you to yourself, to Satan, on whose voice you are listening to and who you are following. You have to get that. That's the pattern. In the kingdom of darkness, he does the same thing. Will you follow me? And I'll tell you, I'll intervene real quick here. How I know that's true is when I started working with people in the occult. Ran into a Bible school teacher. I told him he needed to stop teaching error to God's baby children, Christians. He said he couldn't because they would kill his family. He was purposely teaching spiritual error to Christians in a Bible school, believing that he was under threat and intimidation, that he and his family would be killed. So he knew the truth, but he was following another voice under intimidation. Fear of death. Okay, so Satan was trying to get this to Pastor Deborah there. So I'm up in the throne room. I'm on my knees asking God to forgive me. I didn't know that God was holding off Satan. If you want to study a lot more about how tests, go read the book of Job. Satan comes to God and says, that Job down there, he goes, yeah. You let me touch him and he won't praise you and bless you. He will curse you. And God says, you go ahead and you take stuff. So God allowed Satan in this test of Job to take his children, his flocks, burn everything, destroy everything, to prove to God that Job didn't really love him and worship him except for the goods that he gave him. Well, that didn't work with Job. So Satan's back in the courtroom up in the throne again and telling God, the only reason Job is doing it, you got a hedge of protection around him. You take that away. You let me touch him in his physical body, in his soul, personally. And I'll prove to you, God, that Job will curse you and he will not praise and bless you. And God says, okay. Job gets leprosy, boils. His friends come. His wife is telling him, just curse God and die. His friends are come. But Job held under personal physical attack from Satan. That is what was occurring, and it happens to many believers And they go, why is God allowing it? You in a test, honey. You in a trial of your faith. Satan has asked the judge for permission. He is still bound as a servant. He must get permission. He knows the laws. The kingdom of darkness has laws that it must operate under. At first, before the flood, it was willy-nilly, no laws, no nothing. And God took care of that in a flood. But now he's organized. There are legal rights. And so here's Pastor Deborah. She's listened to this video. My sheep hear my voice and they will not follow another. Satan asked permission to check that out. God said, go ahead. Well, I failed it. So God held him off. I'm up in the throne room because I got it. This ain't working. Something. So I recognize because of the movie, God is. I go up there and God is holding Satan off so I could have time to spiritually recover myself. You see, Satan had a plan against me. He had been watching me for years, watched faithfully the Gospel of John. And he wanted to prove to God, the Most High, that I, Pastor Deborah, was not one of his sheep. I did not deserve to have him as a shepherd, protecting me, providing for me. He was going to prove to God I was Satan's, because I'm following another voice, sort of like a goat. Remember the scriptures of John 10, 2 through 5. The Authorized King James Version, verse 2. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I was a sheep, and Satan is saying, I entered in, I talked to her, she followed me, the porter opened up this screen. If you want to know what this realm looks like, you go get the movie Doctor Strange by Marvel, where Burt Cumberbatch plays this medical doctor whose hands get hurt. He starts seeking supernatural, mystical powers to heal him. And he learns the power is there. But if you take it and use it just for your own healing, then you are selfish and greedy, and the whole world needs you to stay in your physical condition and use that ability and power for them. And it shows you how he spiritually is learning while he's sleeping, moving in and out of the spiritual world, going into a hospital and fighting in the spirit. Excellent. I'm waiting for it to come on YouTube. But right now, I think it's through Marvel. I'm not sure how you get it, but it's excellent. Believe it. Excellent movie to watch. So here I was in a test. I'm in the throne room. I'm having to hear these words. Verse 3, to him, the shepherd, the porter opens, and the sheep spiritually hear his voice. A doorway was opened. God allowed it for me to hear Satan's voice. Now, because I move in the gift of discerning of spirits, I hear human spirits. I hear nature talking. I hear the creatures in the garden. I hear demonics. I hear angels. I hear God. I hear sometimes I just have to shut it off, and it's not all the time. And he calls his own sheep, me, Pastor Deborah, by name. And he leads me and he guides me out of the sheepfold. So Satan was trying to prove, she's not yours. You can't lead her and guide. She's mine. She's following me. She put down the garden hose. Verse 4. And when he, the shepherd, puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Satan in the kingdom of darkness took that pattern. So when you see people doing things, you go, what is going on? Look behind the scenes. They're following another voice. It could be through fear. It could be that they gave in to pride or greed, lust of the flesh. And now they're trapped. And if they expose what's happened, it's illegal. So they'll cover up, they'll hide, they'll lie, whatever they need to do. For they, Pastor Deborah, know my spiritual voice. So a lot of times people, they follow the wrong voice out of ignorance, but also the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, coveting, desiring money, wanting this, wanting that. Somebody offers it to them. It's easy. It's in the dark, in the kingdom of darkness. It comes along. And all they have to do is look the other way, allow certain things to happen, and they're good to go. And usually it never gets uncovered, and life goes on. Verse 5, and a spiritual stranger will they, Pastor Deborah, not follow. Satan's trying to prove that I followed a stranger. But will flee, run, not obey, not listen to, not follow from him. The spiritual stranger's voice. Satan's trying to prove I didn't run. I didn't rebuke him. I didn't do this spiritual test I'm going to tell you about. Why? For they, the sheep, know not the voice of the spiritual stranger. When you become intimate with God, or the king of the kingdom of darkness, you get to know the voice. The eye looks, the winks. You know the marching orders. You know how his heart works and stuff. You get your orders. You can do it on Facebook. Do it on Twitter. Do it in the spirit. Sublineal messages. All kinds of things. You're listening to another voice. Satan's plan also included a clap of thunder. Then a voice would speak just like the scriptures of John 12, 28 through 30. Verse 28, Father, glorify your name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, my name, my nature, my essence, and I will glorify it again. Verse 29, the people of the feast thereof that stood by and heard it, the voice from heaven, said that it thundered. Others said, no, an angel spoke to him. Verse 30, and Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Pastor Deborah had to have this test. Because in the spirit, the voice, Satan can make his voice, his demons, to sound like God, sweet and loving and not ferocious, not threatening. And you have to learn how to distinguish, because you have to know you will be tested. So because Satan knew this, if one of God's children, his sheep, his people, followed, listened to, obeyed another voice besides his voice, then they would surely die, be spiritually separated from the Heavenly Father, and would be cut off from the spiritual intimacy of the spiritual relationship, the partnership between the Heavenly Father and themselves. Spiritually no longer the spiritual image and likeness of the Heavenly Father. No longer a son of God. So hearing his voice is vital. Following it and has major consequences that a believer must learn about. The same in the kingdom of darkness. This is the pattern that Satan used. God will use the kingdom of darkness to test you, try you, sift you, because you need to know much more than you know. The loss of the kingdom of heaven, of love, joy, and peace would come, and you would be in the hands, the grips of Satan and the kingdom of darkness. Man would even cause the earth itself, both the planet and the dirt of humans, covering of his own spirit, to be cursed when you followed another voice. And the spirit man would be filled with the sorrow of the cursed land, the physical body and the soul, and even the spirit. Because once you listen, it comes in, and you get something else in there, and it's not nice. And this dust, this earth, both which covered him, and the planet itself, which was to produce wonderful, nourishing food to physically eat. I have taught many nations that when their land is not producing, there's a curse. They are responsible. What they have spilt on it, that goes back to Cain killing Abel. The earth itself from the garden was cursed by God. And then the earth cursed humanity. It will not produce its fruit and blessings. The earth and the atmosphere around it is cursed. They don't know that. They don't know if they're serving their ancestors, that it's cursing the land. They don't know why there's so many orphans and lack of food. But yet other parts of their country is rich, and their leaders are full of money and wealth, but not them. And they don't understand their babies. So I try to teach them what to do. And the spirit of this man would also be filled. His land, his spirit, soul, and body would be a cursed land now. And it would be in the hand of the kingdom of darkness. If you go watch the movie, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you will learn what the white witch says. That the blood of the traitor to Aslan belongs to her. Mm-hmm. When you're a traitor, your blood. Now remember, they're in the spirit. Their blood, the traitor's blood, belongs to the white witch, which means it belongs to death and Satan. And it has rights. And you listen to that white witch, and she said, "You mortals think that your earthly weapons can stop my legal rights. That Aslan spoke from the beginning, the blood of traitors who turned in their brothers for his own Turkish delights," that was the young guy, "belongs to her. And if you break those rules, Narnia would be destroyed." Mm-hmm. Patterns. Study. Go look. Don't just be entertained. Now, spirit man, or the dirt covering, would be blessed by God when you follow another voice. As Satan was trying to get Pastor Deborah to do, which she did. She put down the garden hose. She obeyed another voice, believing this was God. Believing that from the movie, she wanted a blessing. And the thunder came, the voice came, the pattern was there. In ignorance and lack of knowledge, I failed. And he says that he would have to work hard, mankind, because of the cursed land, in the sweat of their brow, to even eat. Now man, the spiritual creature inside the dirt covering, would, if you don't follow God's arts, would no longer be a spiritual creature or being of the kingdom of heaven, only of the dust, the earth, the ground. For out of the earth man was taken, God says, for dust you are, and unto dust your covering will return. The outward body was now no longer immortal. It was dying daily, and it will return to dust. So this is what Satan was trying to get. The patterns were there. I was being tested, didn't know it. Man now would become afraid of the voice of his heavenly Father, as we learned back at the mountain out of Egypt. Even God's blessed people of Israel. So Satan had a plan. Of course, I didn't have any idea, just like Job, that by faithfully watching the Gospel of John, that it would or could bring about such a test, such sifting. I didn't know. But I learned. And it did bring about the test. So be on guard, because anyone of the Heavenly Father's children can also be tested in such a manner with the Most High God's permission. Maybe your test or your sifting or your trials, your temptations will come because of the songs you sing, the scriptures you memorize, the preaching you have heard, Bible teachings you have studied. Test will come, and I hope you pass. The story of testing ended when Satan went to the courtroom of the judge of the universe. I spent a lot of time there. Was just there, asking for judgment on certain people that are here on planet Earth now. Some of God's own people who have done wrong. The Most High God, and for him to judge them and treat them accordingly to the judgment. So when they pass on into eternity, we don't have to deal with it in the throne room. We'll just be dealing with a small baby child. To bring his accusations against me for following and listening to another's voice besides the good shepherd and letting a porter open a door. And boy, was he shocked. Remember, I'm up there. I asked God to forgive me. I see I missed it. I asked forgiveness for that to be put under the blood and to be erased and washed away as if it never happened. No evidence existed of my disobedience, of following another's voice, of putting the garden hose down. For God the Most High had spiritually given me time to spiritually recover myself and come to the spiritual revelations of the test, and to confess my spiritual error of listening to, following after, obeying another voice besides his, the Most High God's. So under the blood of Jesus and into the sea of forgetfulness, the spiritual evidence went. But this story also includes another spiritual failure of mine. That was one. I didn't spiritually test the voice to see if it was God. How do you do that? I didn't apply the spiritual test of 1 John 4, 1 through 3. Verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets, that's an interesting word, are gone out into this world. Verse 2. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is not of God. Let me say that again. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. I did pass this years ago when I wanted to be closer with God into that pattern that Christ Jesus and him had, which is the same pattern Satan wants with us. I had prayed to be one with him as Christ Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, was with the Father. One. One and one equaled one. So one night I was up in Canada on my vacation with my family, laying next to my husband. And I heard a voice say, I want to be one with you. I go, excuse me, who are you? I'm an angel of the Lord. I go, that ain't good enough. What master do you serve? I'm doing the test now. Now, nobody can hear me. It's all done in my head and in the spirit. I serve the Lord. I go, no, that ain't good enough. I knew the test. What master do you serve? And this voice said, I serve the Most High God who sent his Son, Christ Jesus, the Word of God made flesh into the world through a virgin who walked on the earth for 33 years, who went to a cross for the sins of mankind, who died and went to hell and got the keys of hell, death, and the grave, and now sits on the right hand of the Father. That is who I serve, King Jesus, the Christ. I go, okay, you're of the Spirit of God. Come on in. He was already in me, in the Holy Spirit, but he exploded out. But I passed then. But when I got to the garden hose, after watching this movie, I failed. So you can pass sometimes and fail other times. But the kingdom of darkness and Satan is always going to be after us, testing us, asking permission. So because I didn't try this time, this spiritual voice that told me to put the garden hose down, I just believed. I assumed, that's not a good word, I trusted the voice to be of God himself because I wanted the voice to be like the voice in the movie of the Gospel of John. Every movie you watch, every book you read, every tweet you put out, every Facebook thing, it's all being recorded. It's either going to be a part of the kingdom of darkness and that shepherd, or it's going to be of the kingdom of heaven and that. It's either going to be of the flesh and the biological desires, or it's going to be of the spirit. Everything you do, say, think, feel, every dream is looked at, tested, recorded, and you will be tested. I wanted and I desired so much to hear God's voice in the thunder. So Satan used the example, the pattern from the movie to speak to me and was hoping I would not try the voice according to 1 John 4:1-3. And I didn't. So I failed that test also. So he's going to look to see if you try the spirits according to 1 John 4:1-3. If you don't know about the test, you won't try it. You'll just listen to the voice. You'll be just an ignorant spirit that's in darkness, naive, and you'll follow it. The test is done. You don't even know it. It takes care of stuff up here, and you now serving Satan. And he's come on in. So I failed the test, but in the Heavenly Father's agape love for me and his spiritual knowledge of Satan's plan. Remember, God gave him permission, just like Job. God the Most High held Satan off until I could spiritually figure out what had happened. So you have to become an inquisitive mind. What's going on here? What's behind this? Something will happen in the natural and go, okay, what's going on? What is spiritually happening? Did the spirit do this? Did the soul do this? What's up? Which kingdom is at work? What are the plans? What is up to? You have to have that inquisitive spirit and your soul to be looking. So when I figured it out on the porch after 2.5 hours, I took off to the throne room. And I humbled myself, and I confessed my error, my disobedience by following, obeying, and listening to that stranger's voice, his request, and I didn't do the test of 1 John 4:1-3. So the next time, which was just a few days later, once again I was outside watering, a lot happened in my yard all the time. And a voice spoke to me, but this time I remembered to try the spirit according to the spiritual test that I had just failed to do a couple of days before. Satan lost round one. All the evidence disappeared once I asked God's forgiveness. So he comes back, and God wants me to be challenged to apply the test and pass it this time. It's like if you take a test and say, all right, go home and study, come back and we'll take it again. Let's see if you pass. I did. I tried the Spirit according to 1 John 4:1-3. I spiritually learned that none of God's angels or His Holy Spirit get offended or mad at me for requiring them to take the spiritual test. They are actually happy that I asked them. In fact, they are so happy they comply, for they are helping to teach me to be spiritually careful and guarded about spiritual voices. Because I hear spiritually many spiritual voices through the spiritual gift from God the Most High called the discerning of spirits. I see, I hear, I can understand, I interact what's going on. And I am very spiritually close, intimate, and ministering in total spiritual oneness with God, the Most High in the spirit realm on earth. In the kingdom of darkness, I got to go there, to spiritually reach precious spiritual ones who are trapped in Satan's grip of fear, ignorance, abuse, torment, intimidations. I am spiritually tested and tried often and very powerfully to bring the dross and the impurities out of me. So only holy and pure motives and desires are in my spiritual heart, my mind, are there. And a complete spiritual oneness and intimacy and unity of and with the Heavenly Father as He was with Christ Jesus. And I can be, and He and His Son were, even today. I have to be tested and tried. So I am tested. There's another story about that. It's called You Love Them Into the Kingdom of Heaven as I Loved You. I was helping multi-generational Satanists, praying for them, getting them saved. And they put in a hit. It's called a hit. I was on the list. They put a contract out for me. One of their high kings, I went to a restaurant, he worked with the waitress, they put poison in my lemonade, didn't know it. Come home about 5:30 and great pains come. It was a demonic spirit and poison. Go to the hospital, I have a Satanist as the guy sitting next to me. They run every test they can. There is nothing. While I'm there in great pain, you will never hear me screaming and crying. I grit my teeth and I pray. Spirits of Satanism, who were my spiritual children now, came. They knew who gave the hit, who gave the order. They wanted to go kill them, and I had to say to them, no, you go love them into the kingdom. Like I loved you. They're trying to survive in a kingdom of darkness. But we're going to get them through love. So they went off spiritually. The guys got saved. Now I'm gritting my teeth. And I'm talking to this guy next to me. He's a Satanist. I said, how long you been in? Oh boy, did that hit. They gave me Benadryl, the powerful painkiller. It never worked. Because Satan was hoping he would knock me out so he could take my spirit and take it to a meeting and put it in another body. And what was occurring in the pain time is I was connected spiritually through this poison demon to a young girl. Her name was Amanda. She was up in Atlanta in a spiritual satanic meeting having an abortion. Horrifically. They wanted me to feel that pain because that's what it felt like. I was giving birth, but I was not pregnant. I knew it was a test, and I figured it out, I knew to grit my teeth and love those in Satanism to get them saved. And God used it, and that didn't work. Passed that test. All right. So that was another one. So Satan is allowed to test me to see if I can spiritually be separated out of the spiritual unity of love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. If I can break this intimacy of the presence of the Most High God out of His pleasure, His fellowship, and become a spiritual traitor, a servant to sin and rebellion, a slave instead of a king and a son of God, unauthorized king or child of God, a spiritual captive, instead of having spiritual dominion over sin, Satan, and death, the keys of hell, death, and the grave would be taken away from me. Satan would have legal rights to do that. And all the works of God, I would not be allowed to have any of that. A spiritual adulterer I would become to God's holy voice by listening to, following after another voice, obeying another voice out of the kingdom of darkness, Satan's, who is the king of the kingdom of darkness, a cherubim who was cast out, thrown down as lightning from the high third heaven, the kingdom, to earth. Well, he bounced back up and made a second heaven, and he's got a kingdom of darkness down here. And we are existing on this planet together, and we are in battle. The spiritual stakes are high, the goals eternal and unchanging. Yet I had someone who was watching out for me, helping me, even though he was saying nothing. Yes, I failed the test. Then I figured out I was being tested. When you're in a test, the sides will both be quiet, and you will pass or fail. Right now in the world, many people, they're failing the test. Money comes. You have opportunities to make millions and millions for yourself, serve another government. You either pass or fail. Sometimes you get blackmailed. You have improper sex, even spiritually. And you get entrapped. And it will take an outsider, another mighty king from the kingdom of heaven to set you free. Yes, I failed these tests, but I recovered. Then I figured out I was being tested. Then I went to confess my spiritual failure and ask forgiveness. Evidence vanished. Under the blood. Accuser defeated. Hard lesson learned. Test, try the spirits, try their voices. And the victory was won. Lessons learned, spiritual growth advanced. And God had the victory. His name was glorified. And when I passed the test, it was glorified again. Well, some tests are not very obvious at the time. And God is usually very quiet. He's waiting for me to spiritually figure things out. So be careful out here in the spiritual realm. Watch out for the spiritual test. Try the spiritual voices. When you fail a test, the trial of your faith, a temptation, go to the throne room, humble and confess that you missed it, and then get up and don't do it again. So this was my garden hose test of the kingdom of darkness. Now I want to end this tape because this has gotten some. I've got a lot of good stuff. And we're just trying to go slow and show you how. Let's see where we were here. That God was my life-sustaining environment for my spirit. And Satan took the pattern, formed his kingdom of darkness. Everything God wanted and God wanted to do, He picked it up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, if any of them that are watching have gone through a test of their faith and failed it, as Pastor Deborah did, and they followed another voice, and they allowed another shepherd to open the door and come on in. Father, I ask you to forgive them, for they know not what they do. I ask you to close the door, throw the evidence into the sea of forgetfulness, and defeat Satan's kingdom of darkness, and return these sheep back to you. Father, they did not know what was happening. They are but babies. A lot of them have messed up for many different reasons. Let your mercy that you extended from the cross extend out. And let your name be glorified from the cross. And the forgiveness of sins that it offered be applied to these that want it. And I ask you this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. This ends the kingdom of darkness. And what was this? This was, let me see here, part 10. And it's lunchtime almost, so you guys be good. This is Pastor Deborah, and we'll pick up next time with part 11. I only got through a page and a half of this one. The kingdom of darkness is a powerful place, and its pattern is the same as God's. When you studied one, you're going to learn another. And that way you learn, and there's lots to learn. So I love you. You come again to learn, and we will pick up with part 11. Bye. This is Pastor Deborah. God be love. Love is here. I'll see you out there. Yeah, that might be me in your dreams. And if I need to, I'll come get you out of the meetings. Sometimes you just look in the flames, you'll see me, a voice in the light. Yes, and I've even helped people before they get to death to take them on out. Yes, I'm going to help all the orphans. I'm not going to help them in the natural. I'm going to help them spiritually. You're not alone, even in the kingdom of darkness. Love. See you next time.
Thank you for listening and watching this video. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you stopped by today and watch. This is Pastor Deborah, and I hope you come again and watch many, many more videos and learn and grow spiritually. And hear how she has helped people spiritually, the Lord's way, for many, many years. Come again, watch another one. And we welcome you to be a subscriber to the channel, to make comments. And if you wish to contact Pastor Deborah, please email her at her email address for the ministry. @PastorDeborah@agapeloveishere.org. You can also see these videos on Twitter and on the website in the many different sections that they are put into. Enjoy, and it was once again an honor to have you watch and listen. Thank you, and come again to another video of Agape Love, Love is Here Ministries, a ministry of helping people the Lord's way, that Pastor Deborah has been doing for many, many years. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah.